We have many signs
in this end time. And I know all of you, if you haven't already heard it, you just are not a news hound, is El Nino. And El Nino is a Spanish word that means the child, and it means the Christ child. And there's a reason for that. In about 1600 A.D., the year of our Lord, the Spanish sailors that fished in small boats along the westernmost shores of South America were familiar with currents of the region. And normally the waters they fished were cold and flowed from south to north. Think about this. Visualize South America. But in certain years, the waters would reverse their flow and become warm, very warm. This would usually begin to occur shortly after the Christian Christmas holiday, or the begging of the year, as they would say. The sailors named the odd occurrence El Nino. Now, I am reading part of this because this is on the net, and you all have access to that, and I hope you're keeping up with it. Because, again, I would say, a sign that cannot be attached to God's Word is really not a sign. An El Nino is usually over after 18 months. I want to say that again so you catch it. Usually an El Nino only lasts 18 months, okay? But according to the U.S. Climate Center, the present episode began in 1990. I want you to think about this now. This is heavy stuff. Reaching maturity during early 92, weakening in mid-1992, and beginning increasing again in November of 92. Some researchers warned that El Nino events could become more intense with global warming. Well, now I don't go along with that necessarily, because global warming is a cop line for certain people to bring certain things to bear. God controls the temperature, always has. He always will, and He's not about to give up that right now. Now, we do things that smoke, haze, this sort of thing that hangs in the atmosphere can change a little bit the temperature, but it's not going to change the overall part of what happens to the ozone or anything else. A huge pool of warmer than normal Pacific Ocean water is poised to give the world's weather its biggest kick since the winter of 1982 and 83. That's for this winter coming. It's going to be a very serious one. But I hope you catch 82 and 83. That was the first benchmark of Daniel. Okay? So what I want you to recognize, we're coming up on a second benchmark. That's why I think that the 18 months of the moon eclipses was very important, turning to red and finalizing in the region of Jerusalem, or that the orbit would focus it there. The El Nino in 82, happened in 82, but it went through the winter into 83, was called the mother of all El Ninos because it was terrible. But it's not most likely going to be as bad as the one we're going to see this winter. Now, God has a kind of a funny way, though, of taking these forecasters and making them kind of lose their gourds, because He can do whatever He wants to. Okay, He's still controlled. But I will agree with them. It would appear at this time that California, how many of you are from California? Buy you a raincoat right away. And if you live in one of those little houses on the sticks next to the water, you better think about moving to Arkansas. No, you don't have to come to Arkansas, but I mean, yeah, it's going to be a very bad one, I'm sorry to say, and every indication so far. El Nino is the second largest driver of the world's weather. Now, did you know that? El Nino is the second largest driver of the world's weather. You know what I think? I think it's number one, because it even affects the jet stream, and basically the jet stream decides our weather. But the El Nino will even divert because of thunder showers and so forth. Only the warmings and coolings and changes in precipitation patterns that come and go with the seasons have the biggest effects. Naturally, that means if it's summertime and winter's coming on, winter's going to give you a big change. All right, but the seasons were also created by who? Your Father, of course, you know. And this is why the equinox is so important, and that's why we go by a solar calendar. You know, when the sun diverts north or south of the equator, we know that, hey, that's a fixed time in God's time. I mean, it happens exactly the same time every year in spring and in the autumn, okay? In the U.S., the 1982-83 El Nino caused more than $2 billion in damage from storms and flooding in the Pacific Coast, the Rocky Mountain, and Gulf Coast sites. But it saved, get this, $500 million in fuel bills with the East warmest winter in 25 years. So how many of you are from the East? You're going to get by cheap this winter, okay, if everything goes well. In contrast, in 76-77, El Nino brought drought to California in one of the century's coldest winters in the Midwest and East. That's why I love God, you know. About the time man thinks he's got it figured out, he finds out he doesn't, okay. It is real strange that I'm not going to read all of this to you, really. There's just some facts I have underlined here I want to draw to your attention. One of the researchers is pleased as he compares this year's forecast with what he and others were able to say in 1982, and quote, "Now, if we can help people with the forecast, we're successful," unquote, he says, and that's true. There was one case where down in Central America, they begin to notice this. It normally takes the farmers there 650,000 metric tons of corn to get by. In 1987, a drought related to El Nino, they only made 100,000 metric tons. But this meteorologist switched them over the next time one was forecast to a dry weather type corn. You that farm know what I'm talking about, drought resistant. And they produced 530,000 metric tons. So that's why it's important to know God's signs. I only use that as an analogy that you know. That way you know how to do something about it. And that's important. The most important thing to know what to do about it is, does that have anything to do with God's Word? Is it biblical? Is God telling us something that all of a sudden, the only time in history that that we have one that's running a period for several years rather than 18 months. Something busted that old number 18, which is bondage, and kind of ripped it for them, okay? And here are only a few of the facts that have already we note. The Pacific Ocean water off Peru is as much as 9 degrees warmer than normal, okay? This lets you know how strong this baby is. Warm water and warm water fish, such as tuna, have spread northward to off the California coast. They're really lucking out up there right now. The big boys are running. The drought has begun in Indonesia. Unfortunately, some people suffer because of this badly. Pakistan and northwest India are dry, and the normal monsoon rain has been spotty in parts of India. And meanwhile, heavy rain hit central and northern Chile in May and June. And North Korea, of course, most of you, I hope, are familiar with the drought that is going on there. And certainly those people are suffering. And I see my old Chosun Reservoir buddy back there. How you doing? All right. He and I, our groups, were trapped at the reservoir. You remember when 120,000 Chinese come down against us? Me and him were up there, and we beat them. they were... You bet. And in truthfulness, there were only 12,500 of us, and we only lost 2,500, and they lost almost 60,000 men. So you talk about fighters, hey. You know, ask him. He'll. No, he probably wouldn't want to talk about it, but call him a veteran, all right? Now, what does that have to do with El Nino? Well, it's rough on Korea, okay? We were too, okay? North, that is to say. The forecast, I won't go into a great deal of this. We anticipate that California will be pretty wet this year. It will be very much like the 82-83, which was the mother of all of them. And there's a good chance we're going to have a wet year, and a fair chance we're going to have a very wet year. I tend to go along with that. Now, our weather departments have a neat way, you know. They finally wised up to what was causing these things and knew we got to get a grip on this because it is really affecting the world. In the food supply and so forth with 2000 approaching. So they went out and they dropped 80 buoys in the South Pacific, okay? And come to find out, what causes this is some way or another, the wind doesn't have enough of a stirring current or to get the ripples going so that the hot water in that Pacific Ocean, you might as well say from Korea, you know, that's an open shot all the way across to Peru. And if something doesn't get that beauty started, get the hot water mixed down below with the cold, here she hits Peru, and all heck breaks loose. And who do you think controls that? Okay, who do you think, you know, the food on the bottom from that cold water comes up, it won't feed the fish that are there on the surface. So things have to happen. So naturally, what you have, the real answer is, who controls what the deeps do, you know? And then you've got your answer. And if God is controlling something, if you're a Christian, probably you better sharpen up because he could be telling you something. And the question is, what is it? Again, I would repeat, if you have a sign and you can't find it in the Bible, it's not worth a dime to you, okay? It will be, and this is the largest on record, okay, for the longest period of time. So when something exceeds what man is familiar with, somebody's changed something, meaning somebody's trying to get your attention. And it's a good idea that you listen to it. And I'm not going into what is an El Nino, you know. But it is important, you that are on the net, that if you don't understand the steerage of these currents and what causes it, it's really a very simple thing. God doesn't have any trouble at all arranging the thing. I would highly recommend that you click on, and I think our local computer man for putting all this together with me, he's probably already gone fishing, hadn't he? Wherever. No, he's right back there. He's back there with my nephew there. Hi, nephew. And that one beside him, Doug, is our computer expert, and his lovely wife there beside him. And some might say, well, this is just a recent thing. Now stop and think about it. How could it be a recent thing caused by the ozone layer when it was discovered by the Spanish sailors in 1600? We didn't even have a weather department in 1600. Okay. Our only weather department is God as he sees fit, okay? So don't buy into rubbish. Always stop and think concentrate on what is taking place. I think that's about all I want from that particular paper. And again, clicking on the net, you see the surface waters. I wanted to see real quickly, I wanted to confirm in my mind if it was 80 buoys they dropped out there. 80 would be double probation. What amuses me about it, but they are there, these buoys, and they report the depths, you know, what the temperatures are at the various depths. But about the time man gets smart enough to figure out what God's doing, God likes to really show him he does whatever he wants to anywhere, anytime, anyway. That's like with the one in 77 there I was telling you about. And it seems that offhand I'm not going to find the number of buoys that our dear government placed out there, but I'm pretty sure it was 80 reporting points, where before it was just spotted. If a ship happened to be through there or something of that nature, then they would pick up on this. So there you have it. The worst one in 1982, a benchmark of Daniel. Boy, that's easy to fix, you know what I mean? But what kind of benchmark is being set now that we have this granddaddy of them all? That was the mother of all of them in 82. But this is very possibly, I mean, the temperature spread and the warmth of that thing, I mean, it would seem already that we're in for it, that it has lasted so long instead of lasting 18 months bondage again. Okay, so we're going to look in the God's Word, and first of all, I would say the best plan for us is, does God really control the weather? Well, if you can't find that in the Bible, all you can say is He's great and He does everything, but you need to be able to prove it, right? You really should be able to if you're going to deal in God's Word. So I want you to open your Bible, if you would, to the 104th Psalm. And let's see if we can begin to tie some of this together and see if God is telling us something, because we've got to focus on the Word. You know, it's good to get on the net and see what Joe Brown's doing out there, but it's what our Father's doing that is really important. And what I intend to do, or what we are going to attempt to do, does God control the weather, and is it connected with any one particular thing? Because it's obvious, we got a message. What do we do with it? We have an El Nino, the Christ child. Doesn't that kind of rattle your chain a little bit to know that Spanish sailors in 1600 would call it the Christ child because it's close to the time of His birth? And you see the power that Christ had in Anno Domini, which is to say the year of our Lord, where it changed dates and everything, that it bears a larger weight than many might think. Okay? So you're all familiar with Psalms 104, but we're going to read parts of it anyway. Let's start with the first verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Well, we certainly know that's a fact. Who coverest thyself with the light as with a garment. He is the light, okay? Who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. Now think about that. He stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. That's the atmosphere. Who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters. Who maketh the clouds His chariot. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind, the ruach, the spirit. Lack of wind is in large part what causes an El Nino, okay, in certain parts at the right time. Who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers of flaming fire. He kind of controls a lot of things, okay, along with weather. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. I mean, it's solid. He created it. Thou coverest it with the deep, that's the water, the ocean, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. This was the first destruction. This was the katabol, the overthrow of Satan in the first earth age. And at thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. Skip with me to verse 19. I'm not going to hold you real long on this. I just want to make my point. And then I want you to watch this winter and stay awake. We're in a very interesting time. Verse 19. He appointed the moon for seasons, and the sun knoweth his going down. You need to be aware of the solar system and how perfect and exact that it is. And let's go all the way to 26. There go the ships. Where do ships go? On the ocean, the water. There is that Leviathan. Leviathan is Satan in the book of Job, all right? Whom thou hast made to play therein. That type, okay? And, you know, he did. He let Satan have his hour here on earth. Do you listen to him? I don't know. He's pretty sharp, and he can throw some mighty deceptive words out at you from everywhere. These wait all over thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. He takes care of nature. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. That means everything on earth. that man never touches. God still feeds it. Okay? He created it. 29, thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Kind of he's in charge, okay? That's nature, in other words. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. When does that happen? So that you know the time we're talking about. Revelation 21. He's going to rejuvenate this earth whereby we have a decent place to live forever. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. 32. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. How many of you remember Mount St. Helens? Okay. That happened in 81, 82. Okay. Volcano. Okay. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Think about it. Who created your being? He did. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Listen carefully, verse 35. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. And what is the plan again? Division. Get rid of the bad, bring in the good, and make it all a better place all over again. And who's in control? He is. But he created those that went bad the same as he did you. And he loves them. They're his children. And that's why he urges you and gives you this unction that you can't control. It's just natural. That you want to help them. You want to get that truth out there. You want to plan it. Why? If we don't, they're going to be destroyed. And God is long-suffering, and it is his will that all come to repentance. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. He wants them saved. And that's why he brings forth this plan. But he makes everything so simple, his control, that you can look and you can see it. If you really pay attention, you can see his hand in everything almost that moves in the heavens and the earth. He controls. That's why it's important that he control your life through this word, that you focus on this word. Now I want to document that he does control. Psalms 147. I'm going to stay right here in Psalms. Oh, where do we want to go here? All these psalms that I'm going to touch on, you should read all of them, make a study of it yourself. I'm going to pick up here at the 14th verse. 14th verse of Psalms 147. The question is, does God really control nature, meaning weather also? He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. That's to say, his children that follow him. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. Doesn't take long. He giveth snow like wool. He does what? Who gives the snow? He does. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. When people wake up, they say, oh, Jack Frost visited again last night. It wasn't Jack Frost, it was God. Okay. Verse 17. He casteth forth his ice, that's crystals, like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? 18. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. Wow. Talk about control. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. The wind blowing is what causes the El Nino. You got it? He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments upon Israel. I don't know. Are you familiar with them? That's the way you get around it. That's the way you keep informed. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. And of course now, through Christ, all nations basically have, they have, not basically, they do have the privilege to know, to follow. Okay, the final chapter we're going to, and we're going to close with it, Psalms 107, just almost back where we were with 104, right? I'm not going to do the mathematics on that for you. I didn't bring my computer. But anyway, we're in 147, I'm sorry, 107. If I looked at my notes and it confused me there a moment. We're going to go here to 107 and see what this might have to do with us today. And I'll tell you what, let's do again. We started with the 14th verse before. Let's do it again, okay? He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. God controls about whatever He wants to. If it's dark and He wants it light, you know, He can fix that. Because wherever He is, there is no darkness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. If you're not blessed, do you ever praise Him? Hey, it'll go a long way, my friend. He loves it. And for His wonderful works to the children of men. Do you thank Him when you get a shower and need one and so forth? For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. He snapped them. He controls. He takes charge. He's a can-do type father. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. He can kind of lay it on whoever He wants to. That's why it's so important to be blessed and ask for His blessings. You can avoid all that. I mean, life is too short to just really mess up and let God rain on you. All right? And He'll let some of those calamities come your way, not because of your sin, but lack of knowledge and wisdom of what He teaches and how you should act. In other words, if He says, it's dangerous there, why don't you move? And you don't read the warning, well, you're the one standing there. That's life. And that's the way it happens. 18. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw nigh near unto the gates of death. People really do. They kill themselves by their careless actions when they have the warnings here to be blessed by. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He won't let you down. I mean, you can mess up, but the moment you sincerely turn back to Him, He's going to help you. That's His promise. Again, I quoted it from 2 Peter chapter 3. It is His will that all come to repentance, meaning that they're saved. Are they going to be? Uh-uh. No. I mean, all you got to do is take a look around you today in this world, and you can tell. Some of them, you couldn't tell anything. And if there's any one thing that's really trouble to be around, is for one of those that think they know everything to be around one of us that do. But just wanted to make sure that food wasn't getting a little heavy on the tummy there. See if you were with me here, all right? Okay. Verse 20, listen carefully. He sent His word. That's what makes the difference. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Actually, the grave, where they were headed. And how many times have you known of people that their lives were really changed by Him? And just saying, I love the Lord, and you know what they were before, and you see what they are after. You know? It's beautiful. And do you know that it's written that even the angels in heaven rejoice when one switches over? Now think about it. His word is so powerful, so really powerful. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. He likes that you recognize He is. He would like for you to know, hey, look out there in the Pacific, my child. Look what I'm doing. Ho, ho, ho. I got it going. Do you understand? I mean, this is the biggest one there's ever been. And you know what? It's not. If you'd been here when the catabole took place, he's just toying, okay? But He wants you to know that and thank Him for it. He has a reason, okay? In all things, because El Nino is the subject, naturally I'm saying that. But in all things, 23, they that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters. They make a living off of that whole wide thing out there. Those big old ships bring those Toyotas in here by the boatload, you know. 23, 24. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. You know, there's nobody gets religion and loses it quicker than sailors, okay? You get out in that South Pacific and have a storm hit. I mean, there's some old salts that can do some fast praying, and let them hit port and look what happens. There we go. 25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. He does what? He commands the wind? Did you hear that? He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. You want to find El Nino in the Bible? You just did. Okay? 26, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. And all their seamanship, they couldn't do anything about it. Okay? I've been out at sea on some pretty bad ones, but I know there's been a lot worse. I'll tell you what, it'll make you stop and think when you look up and see water like that, you know. When you look up and see a crest that high above you, and you're already on a big ship way out of the water, is what I'm saying. 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. Oh, Lord, save me this time, and I'll never do it again. Pilots and sailors have a lot in common. You know? The pilot gets himself in a thunderstorm that he knows better, and he says, Oh, Lord, hear me now. Good, you know, repenting is good for the soul, and confession is also, you know. 29, he maketh the storm a calm. If he decides to, get that. Now, I want you to understand this. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He can do whatever he wants to. He can have that just as stormy as he wants, and Christ gave you an example of that, did he not? Peace be still. And the old boy said, well, why didn't you wake up and do that a long time ago? It was scaring us. You know, okay? I mean, my point, he's in charge. He's in control. Why wouldn't you want to praise him? I mean, he can make you or break you. He's not going to break you. I don't want to paint him. He's not that way. But he will let you break yourself if you want to. And God only knows, man knows one thing real good, how to bring destruction upon himself. Okay? What verse was I in? 30? Okay. And this is what the sailors like, okay? Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them into their desired haven. That means a port or a harbor, okay, where it's real safe. 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You see, do you know the thing, the theme that's being repeated here over and over? Praise him. Praise him. Thank him. Talk to him. Let him know when you see something and understand it. Don't just say, oh, goody, look at that. Don't say, thank you, Father, for touching my mind and my spirit, whereby I can understand these things that our government dumping 80 buoys out here, you know, stretched out, spent a lot of money to know, hey, it's hot on top. You know, it's real hot on top, and when that just moves on over, it just changes everything, okay? Wonder why God doesn't stir it up a little bit. Well, he didn't want to, because he can make it a calm or he can make it a storm. 32. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And we do. Thank God for that. He turneth rivers into a wilderness. He can make it a desert. Okay? And water springs into dry ground. He could change it just like that. I don't know how many of you have ever driven out, even in our own deserts in Arizona. Man, you get a little cloud burst and you got a flood, you know, in a desert land. 34, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. And, you know, in the long haul, you can go into the deserts of New Mexico and find fossilized palm trees on the tops of mountains. Palm trees never grew in Arizona. Oh, yes, they did. Not in our lifetime. It's been changed. Not like it was in the beginning. Well, why did it change? Because my father wanted to. Okay? He just snapped it, and there it went. Okay? My point being also, he's in charge, and it's a good thing. You know, a smart person recognizes pretty soon, hey, I'm going to take the advice of the old boy that's controlling this and be on his good side. That's the way you really should be. 36, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. He makes it so rich it'll support a whole city. And sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. These are the blessings, all right? 38, he blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. In other words, praising him, loving him, following him, and using common sense makes a pretty good combination and a strong outlook for success. 39, again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. And you know what it's real easy for people to do? Oh, God, we had such a beautiful town here. It looked like it is. It hadn't rained in 4 years. And God must just be mean to us. And there's probably the biggest bunch of sinners in the world, you know. And they won't rain. In other words, God, you bring affliction upon yourself. You bring it in your own family. Hot weather comes along, you know, and two people get a little, you get irritable, you know. And Mama comes in, and I mean, she was hot too, standing over a stove, so she burns the cornbread a little bit. Papa comes in and says, "Why did you cook cornbread just like my mama, and she never could fix it right?" You know, and pretty soon you got a yin-yang started, you know, and they're fighting over what? Nonsense. Okay, so affliction goes for those that are foolish and childish. Be mature. In this generation, more so than ever, I want to say that one more time. Be mature. When you were a child, you spake as a child. If you're one of God's elect, you are no longer a child. I don't care if you're one of these little ones that's 6, 5, 4 years old. They can teach you more Bible than a lot of preachers can. Okay? You don't think like a child. Be mature. And don't let Leviathan get to you. Don't let Satan get to you. Don't let one of his little bad spirits put you in bondage. Like the family that people used to come to their house to watch the fights every Saturday night. And then they got television and, you know, so, you know. People are funny. They really are, you know. And then say, I wonder why this happened to me. Be mature of all times now. Be mature. Be patient. Be patient with people. They're God's children. Verse 40. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. That word wilderness is really tuhu. You all remember that from Genesis. Void. Not a chance. So we don't have to worry too much about politicians. Okay? God's got a way of handling them. You know, pretty soon, if you put your hand in the cookie jar too many times, Mama's going to catch you. Okay? And Mama, being the little general that she is over the legal department, has some hands in the cookie jar. Okay? And she's finally going to have to do something about it. Word to the wise is sufficient. 41. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction. Now get that. I want you to see the control. Yet setteth he the poor, that's the humble, those that love him, those that praise him, on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. Have you ever seen how a flock of sheep get along? Have you ever seen them fighting other than just playing? They don't have any defensive weapons to fight with, except their shepherd. Okay? So, God will help you get along if you'll help yourself. All right? 42. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. It's so easy to do when you think adult, maturity. When you praise God and thank Him for what you do have good instead of some little piddling thing that happened during the day. Or you lost $5. Big deal. You know, makes $20 an hour. Well, I better not say that. Makes almost $20 an hour. Loses $5 and you'd think he had lost everything he had. You know? Don't let little things upset you when they break or whatever. You know, it's just the way it goes. 43, I'm going to close on this verse, and I want you to take it with you. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, the water, the storms, the clouds, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. He has a reason for everything. So what can we assume? We have another benchmark. We are a jubilee away from the fig tree's planting. Things usually happen on a jubilee. Now, don't get nervous and say, Arnold Murray said the world was coming to an end. I didn't say that. I said a benchmark, okay? Which means we're taking a more mature step, and you better watch what you step in, okay? We're coming to a time where there's going to be a change, and I don't want you left out on, which way did they go? You know? Because you know, and you know that God controls the weather, and it is going to be different this winter. Boy, is it going to be different. We've got so many jubilees piling up on us, and on August the 6th, sometime in August, let me put it that way, in Switzerland there was a great jubilee also, and it was a double jubilee. It was 100 years for the Zionists, that political party. And think what happened to them over 100 years. They were nothing. At the end of one jubilee, they became a nation. That was the planting of the fig tree. This is another jubilee. What's going to happen? You better keep your eyes open. Because in Jerusalem, they're both good and bad figs. And you're supposed to be knowledgeable of the fig tree. Got too many jubilees coming to pass here all at one time. Not to mention a new millennium. What does all that mean? Well, without fixing it to God's Word, it doesn't mean anything. But I think you all know how to fix it to God's Word. And that's what makes it important. What a time to live now with all these things happening. If you haven't heard of El Nino, turn your television on. It's going to be news. It already is. They're trying to warn people. And I suppose they're trying to figure out, they kind of know what causes it, but they're probably wondering why. All they got to do is look up, right? Because your Father controls the weather. He can send the ice, and He can melt it. He can put it in rough water. He can calm it. Right? It serves a purpose. That's why it's important that you praise Him. What can I say about this winter? It's a time... I don't want you to misunderstand me and just watch El Nino, the water. You know, that's not... You're not going to get too intelligent just watching water, okay? Get your head up and look around and see what happens in the nations. Because these signs are given to you for a purpose. And that's so that you do have be on guard, so that you are on guard, that you observe, and that you're not caught off guard. Be humble and He'll take care of you. He'll feed you. He'll take care of you. By being humble, you praise Him. You take the word He sends you. The word He sends doesn't do any good unless you act on it. Okay? It just doesn't. It's there. And I would say again, focus. This is a time to really focus, because you're going to be tried to... They will try to pull you off course from every direction. There will be all sorts of... You know, the net is a fine place for this. You take like when Hale-Bopp went through. There was some of the dumbest stuff. You know, that was a great thing, but there was some of the dumbest stuff written about Hale-Bopp for that intelligent people. Did you hear that? Well, show me. You're going to have to be like these people up in Missouri. You better start saying, let me check it out and show me. You know, because you're going to hear all sorts of rumors and everything else. You got it in your hand, the Word of God. Do not be pulled away from it. In closing, I've really already closed, okay? But I would leave this thought with you. You are going to see some things this winter. And there will be moves and shifts, because we have come to a new benchmark. Nothing has ever been the same since 1981, winter 82. Nothing has ever been the same. And God's people has been given a voice. And that voice is spreading that no one could perform the miracles that have been performed except He Himself accomplished it. As far as being able to put His word out without a bunch of BS being fixed to it. All right? Well, some people may have a different opinion of that BS stuff. I don't know. But according to letters I've got, sometimes they say that's all I put out. So, that's what I mean. You got to be careful on stuff like that. But it is a time to be alert and to know Father's in control all the way. What a comfort that is. And if you don't thank Him for it, it's not going to do you one iota of good. Just to hear me say it or someone else say it doesn't do you any good. You've got to talk to Him because you are important to Him. He wants to hear it from you. And it is so important that you praise Him and let Him know that you love Him. It really is. It'll change your life. It'll change the way. There's no such thing as luck. I hope you know that. Luck is brought forth by wisdom. And, well, that guy was lucky. He just won $4,000 playing, at Las Vegas. And tune in tomorrow. He lost everything he had. Where's the luck? Once a fool, always a fool. A person that believes that kind of stuff, The harder you work, the luckier you get. And the more you praise God, the more you get accomplished because He begins to let you keep it. Okay, that's so important. And there's not a time in history that you need to practice that more than now. Just to talk to Him, let Him know you love Him, and ask His blessings. Hey, He's got a bunch of them. And it makes Him happy. If you've got a little child, or I'll say like my little granddaughter that's been on this stage, I'm not going to point her out or anything, but she was up here singing to you. And, she knows about what I've got. And if she wants something I've got, she asked. And how could I refuse? How could I refuse? I just love to make her happy. But my point being, that's the way God is about you, okay? You're His child. He spoke, sent your spirit and soul into that flesh body that you wear. And my, is He proud of you when you perform in His way. And then when you turn and say, thank you, Father, or when He has to spank you and the old tears are rolling, and you say, I love you, Father. He's come here and give me a hug, And He takes you right into His bosom at a time like that. So if I were to give you any one bit of advice, you communicate with your Father more so than ever. Talk to Him. You don't have to talk out loud. You can drive your car. You can be doing the dishes or whatever. And just talk to Him. It makes His day, but most of all, it makes yours, okay? Well, listen, I love you a lot, and we're going to baptize some people here as soon as we get changed into some blue jeans. And as far as this meeting, boy, I'll tell you what, when that Doug prints that stuff off of that net, I mean, it's a tub of stuff, And as you all know, the net for business is a pretty good thing, but there's a lot goes on that net that, it helped us today, didn't it? We used some of it anyway and got some good information. It's time again. And fall is here, and this meeting is dismissed here in a moment. I love you all a great deal, more than you'll know, and because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, stay in that Word. Okay? Love you.